From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. It's Friday, March 22nd, and here are today's headlines. Lawmakers in the Vermont House yesterday voted to send the biggest energy bill of the year to the Senate. The policy would require every utility in Vermont to reach 100% renewable power by the year 2035, and it would double the amount of new renewables utilities must buy from within the state. New renewables built in strategic places help reduce New England's dependence on natural gas. Independent Representative Laura Sibilia of Dover supports the bill.
We're seeing increased electrification, ongoing volatility in the globally priced fossil fuel markets, increased frequency and intensity of impacts from our changing climate on the grid. And we're also seeing Vermonters' desire for more renewables.
Several environmental groups applauded the House for advancing the proposal. The group Vermonters for a Clean Environment joined the Scott administration and some Republicans in raising concern about how much it would cost because of future grid upgrades. A last-minute amendment from Republicans to give utilities an off-ramp if new in-state renewables prove too expensive failed yesterday. The Vermont House was busy this week as it also gave final approval to legislation that allows individuals to be granted state-regulated professional licenses regardless of their immigration status. The bill covers more than 50 professions, including accountants, barbers, opticians, realtors, and nurses. Putney Representative Mike Merwicki said the bill allows people who meet the requirements for a professional license to work in Vermont, and he says this is a positive development.
As Vermont continues to be challenged with workforce issues, H-606 helps open the door for workers who are here to jump into the Vermont workforce in professions they're trained for in their original countries.
The bill also lets individuals use other forms of federal identification if they don't have a Social Security number. The legislation will now be reviewed by the Senate. The owner of a controversial military-style training facility in West Paulette pleaded not guilty yesterday to assaulting a law enforcement officer. State police say a Paulette town constable pulled over a vehicle for speeding and found Daniel Bonnier in the passenger seat. Bonnier got in a, quote, physical altercation with the constable, who ultimately used pepper spray to subdue Bonnier. Bonnier is currently being held at Marble Valley Regional Correctional Facility. During yesterday's arraignment, a judge deemed Bonnier a flight risk and imposed a $15,000 bail. But even if Bonnier posts bail, he'll likely remain in prison. An arrest warrant issued in December by an environmental court judge says Bonnier will be imprisoned until he complies with a previous court order to remove unpermitted structures from his land. Bonnier and the town of Paulette have been at odds since 2017, when Bonnier first built Slate Ridge, an outdoor shooting range on his 30-acre property. Town officials said Bonnier started running a firearms training facility without property permits. Vermont's recreation community is gearing up for next month's total solar eclipse. Ski resorts in the northern part of the state are preparing for thousands of visitors. That means more staffing, more parking, and figuring out how to deal with several minutes of darkness during the day. Resorts in the path of totality will close their lifts before the eclipse and sweep trails to ensure nobody is skiing when the sky goes dark. Scott Pellegrini is Bolton Valley's Director of Marketing, Sales, and Revenue. He says the resort won't be using its trail side lights during the eclipse.
We do have night skiing. Unlike most resorts, we turn on the lights at night. But obviously for the eclipse, Mother Nature is the show, so we're not going to pollute the air with light.
Pellegrini says the lifts will reopen once daylight returns. One of Vermont's most famous actors passed away this week. M. Emmett Walsh died Tuesday in St. Albans from cardiac arrest. Walsh was raised in Swanton and starred in hundreds of films, including The Jerk, Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, and perhaps most famously as Private Detective Lauren Visser in the 1984 Coen Brothers film Blood Simple, in a role that was written for Walsh and one that earned him the first Film Independent Spirit Award for Best Male Lead. Walsh also established the Blarney Fund Education Trust to provide financial support for college-bound Franklin County students. Walsh was 88 years old. Coming up, the UVM men's basketball team heads into round one of the NCAA tournament as heavy underdogs against Duke, but Countermouths head coach John Becker says his team feels battle-tested and confident. That's after this. The University of Vermont men's basketball team is preparing to go dancing on the big stage of the NCAA Division I basketball tournament. It'll be the 10th time in school history they've been there and the third time in as many years. At the Catamounts will do so as champions of the America East Conference, which gains the team an automatic bid to the big dance. The UVM women's team has also found success on the hard court recently, but they fell just shy of making the women's NCAA tournament this year, losing in the America East Conference title game to Maine. The Catamount men have a record of 28-6 this year, and they're coming in hot, riding a 10-game winning streak as they take on the Duke University Blue Devils in the opening round in Brooklyn tonight. Duke is the fourth seed in the Southern Regional bracket. UVM is seeded 13th. UVM head coach John Becker is the winningest coach in program history. He's been on the Catamount staff for 18 years, first as an assistant coach before he was named head coach in 2011. And Coach John Becker joins us today ahead of UVM's first round matchup versus the Duke Blue Devils. Coach Becker, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, Mitch. Yeah, thanks for having me on, man.
First, what was the team's reaction and your reaction on getting seeded 13th and then facing a national powerhouse like Duke?
Yeah, to play someone like Duke in New York City at Barclays Center, I mean, a Friday night game on CBS, you know, it's a great opportunity for us, and we're really excited.
I'm wondering how you approach prepping for a team that you're not really familiar with, playing previously, that's not in your division, not a lot of time to prepare for Duke.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, they're a really good program, one of the best teams in the country, and so our staff's done a great job of pouring through film over the last couple of days and getting a scouting report together that we've been working on for the last couple of days in practice. So, you know, with the technology today, it's pretty easy to get film on teams and to be able to build a scouting report just like any other game. So we know they're one of the best teams in the country. We're going to have to play great to have a chance on Friday night.
And for those who may not have followed UVM super closely this year, what are the strengths of this particular team this season relative to past groups that you've coached?
Well, I think it might be our best defensive team. We have some, you know, we've been really, really good on that side of the ball all year. And so we've relied on that from game to game. And we do a lot of stuff that, a lot of winning stuff, let's say. You know, we don't turn the ball over. We rebound the ball well. We're very good defensively. We get to the free throw line. You know, we try not to beat ourselves, and we've done a really good job of that this year.
In the past, you've had squads that have had one or two standout players. I'm thinking of guys like Anthony Lamb, for example. But there seems to be a lot of balance to this year's Catamount squad. How does that change your approach, if at all, to taking on a team like Duke?
I like to have them balance. It makes us harder to prepare for because we have a lot of guys that can score, and we play a lot of guys. We play up to 9 guys. So I think balance and depth make us a little bit harder to scout. But we do have some really, really elite players, and Shamir Bogues and Aaron Deloney's had a great year. And so, you know, we depend on our best players, but we do have a lot of balance this year, which I think makes us a little bit harder to prepare for.
I know that your focus is on the tournament now, of course, but I do want to mention that you were awarded a record 7th America East Coach of the Year honor earlier this month. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor to be recognized by your peers, you know, and, you know, I have a great staff, and it's really more of a coaching staff award to me, and it's nice to be recognized by your peers for sure, and it's a great honor.
You know, I mentioned this is the third year in a row that the Catamounts have won the America East title. So much success in recent years, but you know, this game against Duke, you're playing on the biggest stage in the country in one of the biggest sports tournaments in the country. How do you deal with the natural nerves and stomach butterflies that may come for the players with this nationally televised game?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. To get here, we have to win our conference tournament, which is 3 games to get the one bid from our conference. And so last week, going through that to win that tournament where it's win or go home is the most stress you can experience in college basketball as far as having to win a one bid league conference tournament. So we feel like a lot of pressure has come off us, you know, going up against Duke. It's the first time, you know, in a couple months that we weren't expected to win. So, you know, so I think it's a nice change for our program where the expectations on Duke to win, so we can be loose and confident and go in there and give it our best shot. So some of that weight's been lifted, and we're really excited to just show the world what we got against by the most storied program in college basketball.
Yeah, and given that this matchup has the potential for a David versus Goliath outcome, a lot of fans will naturally be thinking of the 2005 Catamounts team that came into the tournament as the 13 seed and upset fourth-seeded Syracuse. Tom Brennan was the head coach back then in 2005. But as head coach now, almost 20 years on from that famous victory, do you like those comparisons cropping up? Like, do you embrace it and use it as a motivational tool for your squad? Or is it kind of an unwelcome distraction given that this team has its own identity and its own path to take?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, we're really proud of what that team did. And 20 years later, they have a lot to do with, you know, kind of jumpstarting our program onto a national stage. And I'm friends with a lot of those guys. I have a staff member that was on that team, and Coach Brennan's a dear friend. So we're really understanding the importance of that win. But yeah, it's 20 years later, and a lot of players have come and gone, and we do have our own identity. But we're hoping that we can do what they did and have a huge upset in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, every year we get here, that's the goal, to try to advance. And we're going to try again Friday night.
Before I let you go, Coach, I have to ask, there's a pretty famous college hoops fan who shares his bracket picks each year publicly. Did you hear that former President Barack Obama has picked UVM to upset Duke in round one? And what do you think?
I saw that. I think that's pretty awesome. You know, hopefully he's right.
I'm sure a lot of UVM fans feel the same way. That was UVM men's head basketball coach John Becker speaking with us before the big game against Duke University tonight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Tip-off is set for 7:10 p.m., and the game will be broadcast nationally on CBS. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Abigail Giles, Bob Kinzel, Liam Elder Connors, Carly Berlin, and Jen Jarecki. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. Talk to you Monday.